anybody, or if we take anything that can give a loss to an individual, a person is worried, has concern that I need to eliminate this item or factor that can give me loss or hurt or pain. For example, in this masjid, if there's a gust of wind or even a little bit of a wind or something that will cause the wind to come in, the coolness to come in, and there'll be a bit cold, and you'll think, or I will think, that where's this feeling of cold coming from? Where's this gust of wind coming from? And then we will look for that crack or that leakage point so that we can seal it. And as soon as we do that, then the coolness will cease to enter into the room or wherever we are. That blowing of the wind, the gust of the wind, the coolness will stop coming into the room, and then the room will be sealed and it will stay warm. So what we realize is, for example, if there's a snake that is coming into a certain room or a certain dangerous insect, so we'll try to seal that crack, that opening. Or if the roof is leaking, rain is coming through, so we'll try to seal the roof, the leakage, so that water doesn't come into the room or damage the roof, etc. So this is an example that wherever the loss or the danger or the hazard comes from, then very quickly the human being reacts to that, to seal the hazard, to seal that place to prevent the hazard occurring. So when an individual, for example, in our lives, we have ups and downs, morning and evening, there are sadness feelings, there's problems, distress, lack of barakah, lack of blessings, and in houses they are fighting, quarreling, children are disobedient, and there are people maybe who are not really what they seem to be, and there are the different turns of life. There's love of money and wealth, there's haram, halal, we don't have no respect between lawful and lawful, our ibadat is not correct. And if we go further, yani everything we do in our life may seem to be without any blessings, and there are targets that we're trying to achieve and we can't get there. Many things, many ups and downs, problems in our homes or families, household, business issues, work issues, employment issues, achievements that cannot even be achieved. So there has to be a reason, an underlying reason that causes these factors to occur. Now, if there are many negatives surrounding a person and occurring in a person's life, then obviously they'll take illness and problems, difficulties in actions, achieving actions, no barakat. Obviously, if we realize what is the reason for this, then every man would like to eliminate that issue. And if we realize the root cause, then we say, oh, let me get rid of this problem, let me fix this problem. And obviously aql, intellect, tells us is that there's no man who would like that totally, regularly, consistently he has bad issues in life, or he has things preventing him achieving his targets, etc. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us with regards to this that there's nothing that the Quran has not guided us to with a solution. Allah has clearly told us with regards to this you can say predicament that I've just presented in the last few minutes. وَمَا أَصَابُكُمْ بِمُصِيبَةِ Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ It's a small verse. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran. Small verse. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala says that the problems a person has in life, that the root cause of problems, people have illness and without barakah, etc. Allah Ta'ala says that the fighting, the quarreling, the different difficulties with children, there's no jinn. Allah Ta'ala says, there's no magic that's happened to us. Allah says, nobody's running after you. Nobody's causing you these issues. And the dhulm, Allah Ta'ala says, is that when we start to cure the problems, then we try to cure these problems in the incorrect way. We run after amils and magicians and different sort of solutions, Allah Ta'ala says, which are incorrect. Allah Ta'ala says, what kind of yaqeen is this? Why don't you look at the Quran? Wama asabakum, Allah says. Wama asabakum. This is not the reason for your problem, for your illness, for your depression, for your issues, Allah Ta'ala says. Can there be anything clearer than the Quran to give us the solutions? Can there be anything clearer than the Quran, Allah Ta'ala's orders and instructions and guidance. Why do we go towards amils and magicians and jinnat and people who are jinn controllers, etc.? Allah Ta'ala says there are people who do this, who give you the incorrect information, or he's done magic on you, he's done this to you, etc. Allah Ta'ala says that they'll take the person away from the right path towards shirk, put him towards weakness and sins, etc. And then a person, when he takes the guidance of these things, then he thinks he's correct. Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. So what is this? That the person, when his sight, it is sealed, like for example, the magicians who are around Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, they threw the rope and the sticks and they saw that the serpents, they were crawling. When a person has conviction and belief in the wrong things, then he thinks that the solutions are there all the time for his problems. When a person goes to an amil, oh, he's a great person. 90%, more than that of our ummah, especially women, they go to the magicians. And especially in our home country, subcontinent, here, maybe there are not people here like this, but in our subcontinent, you don't have a room to go into their homes. There's no room to sit, no space. They are full. There's no parda, and all the women are there presenting their issues and problems. Maybe shafa will come from here, solutions will come from here, all our problems will be cured here. So if only we were to understand the right path and Allah Ta'ala's guidance. Wa ma asabakum musibatin, Allah Ta'ala says, that all your problems, Allah Ta'ala says, that all of your issues, that even in your heart you have a worry or a distress, Allah Ta'ala says, that if you have a problem, a little bit of an issue in your mind or your heart, even if you're eating, for example, the tongue gets stuck in the teeth. Even this distress occurs, isn't it? When you're eating, suddenly your tongue gets stuck. So the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, those who have conviction, Allah, wali of Allah doesn't mean a person who is so special. Every mu'min was iman, who is a friend of Allah, even if the tongue is stuck between the teeth, then suddenly from your mouth, you say, astaghfirullah, forgive my sins. Why? Because he knows within him that these issues that are occurring in my life are due to my sins. Allah says that asabatkum musibatun. Allah says that this is due to the person's deeds, that these problems, these restrictions, these are due to your own deeds. This is you, a calamity that has befallen you, and it's due. Ask yourselves, Allah Ta'ala says, ask yourselves that why has this come? It has come from your own selves, Allah says. That don't say nonsense after a problem occurs. Yes, there's illness. Allah says there are thousands of different types of illnesses and the cures are there. But when you go towards the wrong solution, when a person has issues in his life, first and foremost, he should consider it's due to his own sins. But the problem is, the surprising thing is that a human being never considers his own sins as the root cause of the calamities that have befallen him in his life. He says, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done a mistake. Allah Ta'ala says that the punishment, the biggest punishment of the sins is that a person feels, I haven't done anything wrong anyway. Allah Ta'ala says, I take away the awareness from those. No, I didn't do anything wrong. I haven't made any mistakes. I'm totally fine. I've never done anything wrong. I never thought of doing any sins. Tell me. In other words, the person, he has been given such a big punishment that the individual doesn't even have awareness of his own sins. And that Allah Ta'ala is punishing him. So the Quran tells us that the reason for this is the sins. The sins. Allah says that you think that the sins are small. We consider the sins as a minor thing. Now even we think that the ant and the mosquito is less dangerous. We are more dangerous. We think that the mosquito is more dangerous. We are afraid of the mosquito or the ant or some insect. But the real genuine danger and hazard in our lives, which is sin, the most dangerous scorpion and insect or spider or animal, which is sin, we don't consider it as a problem. Allah says that the sins have destroyed you in this world, the akhirah, which is to come to you. Look at your life and all your situation and circumstances, negatives. Allah says, if you're destroyed in the dunya, then how will you pass the test to come after death in the hereafter, in the akhirah? It's a very severe situation. Severe situation. All of us, we create our own problems. In the ahadith, it is stated, and we get the hints and the guidance, clear guidance. If a person commits a sin, one sin, and we don't even consider one sin a sin, a sin is more stronger in its might and its punishment than a mountain. One sin. One sin. In any way, a person, if he's used to implementing sins, he doesn't even know or feel or accept. And then when a person sins, then automatically the reaction occurs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says the machine, the manufacturing of the consequences of the sins take place straight away. For example, water. And if I, for example, put a spoon, teaspoon of sugar into the water, it will have an effect, it will dissolve. Forget the teaspoon. Even if you get a little minute tablet, that people drop into the water, put it into a jug. It will make all of that jug of water sweet. So don't we have yaqeen about the sins, how they will contaminate our lives, that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this? When an individual commits a sin, anyone, even the waliyullah, not some human being that we don't even know, we're not aware of, there's no special criteria for the waliyullah that he doesn't have to commit. Oh, he's a dhakir, he prayed salah in the morning, he prays salah 5 times a day, he's pious, he's got an imam, a turban, he's got a beard, and if he commits a sin, nothing will happen to him. No, anybody under the sun, a kutab, a ghawth, abdal, the effect of the sin will be the same. Like I've just mentioned, the special quality of the sin, soon as, for example, you put a little tablet into a glass of water, it makes it sweet. So what does the sin do to the life of an individual? Any individual, we can't recognize it, we're not aware, nor do we accept, nor do we realize, nor do we know. But Allah Ta'ala's karam fadl, He's explained to us, He's defined to us, subhanallah. Otherwise we would continue to sin. Blatantly, for example, we have children, or we ourselves were to understand, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm telling you now, I'll explain to you that the effect of the sin is what? What is the effect of your sins? So when an individual commits a sin, then straight away the first effect of the sin is that on his heart, dhulam, the scar of darkness comes onto the heart. Dhulam. In other words, darkness. So there's nur of iman initially. For example, in this room, there's a light. It's given us light. We can see in the same way in the heart, when a person when we recite, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then nur, light comes into the heart. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And a beautiful light comes into the heart. For example, if we've got the candle here, if you blow it out, darkness will come. So the nur of iman comes into the heart of a mu'min when he recites the kalama. Every mu'min has the nur of iman in the heart, due to which we are alive and we're taking the assistance. And this is the difference. That the worst and the worst of the sinful iman, person who has iman, mu'min, and he is greater than millions of people who have done iman. The whole world may not have iman, but the sinful believer has still got a speck of light of nur of iman in his heart. And that's the difference of the nur of iman. So what happens due to that nur? When a person sins, then that nur starts to dim. Darkness starts to overpower the light of the iman in the heart. Nothing can dim the light of iman. But when an individual sins, there's so much wretchedness in sin. And after sinning, not zina or alcohol. No, just a sin. Just a sin. Any sin under the banner and the definition of deen, if it's called a sin. So what will first occur is that there will be dhulam, darkness will come over the heart. Then the next step after that. The next step. What happens then? Then a condition occurs. So first dhulam, dhulmat, wretchedness comes. So when a person has the nur of iman in the heart, then when he sins or she sins, darkness will start to dim the light of iman. Then he'll feel like doing another sin. Then another sin, and then the light will dim more. I remember an event. The rest I will speak after. In our Aqabreen of Deoband, there was a great, great wali of Allah, alim, scholar, famous personality with respect, Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Rahmatullah Alayh. And people know this individual. Great personality, Sufi, Sheikh, alim, scholar, wali of Allah. I'm speaking about him, not some normal person we don't know. And I said that anyone who sins, remember this point. So he's sitting crying one day in the corner of the room, he was crying. And people were suddenly upset. What's happened here? How is it that Hazrat, for a month, more than a month, he's just sitting and he's crying? We can't see Hazrat doing his normal daily life schedule. So people, they bore up and they went up and they said, Hazrat, you are so sad, you're crying. We never saw you like this before. And Hazrat started to say that, let me explain to you why I'm crying. That what happened is that one individual invited me, and I went to the invitation. I accepted the invitation. The first portion of food that I took, I ate, I realized that this person's rizq is not halal. His food is not halal. And I'd eaten that food, that morsel, that piece of food. So after that, I committed this sin. And that feeling of that sin is that today it's been 2 months. The condition of that sin, the effect of that sin has overwhelmed me, and a darkness has come into my heart. And every moment in my heart, there's wasawis and whispering. And the taqwa that was there is diminished. And then it tells me, do another sin. Do another sin. Oh, it's okay. And this circle, this vicious cycle is revolving in my heart and my mind. And 2 months I've been feeling that I need to eliminate this sin. The effect of this sin. Do dua. That the effect of this food that I ate, it goes away from my heart. Is this a small point? This is the wali of Allah. So what about us, my friends, my brothers? What about us? What will happen to us? Let's think. We are strangling ourselves with our own hands. We are destroying ourselves after a sin, another sin. It drags us to the darkness, to another sin, to another sin. Sin multiplies and invites other sin. Here now, let's listen to another point. More hadith. Then another sin. The sin, first the darkness will come into the heart, then the fear of Allah will come out of the heart. Now see here, the most sinful person, if you tell him, praise Allah, oh, I'm a sinful person, I can't praise Allah. Have you not heard this before? Tell me this statement. When you ask a brother, a request, invite someone to pray, oh, I can't pray, no, I'm a sinful person, I can't pray yet. No, let me leave this sin. So what happens? The sin breeds sin. And then on top of that, the fear of Allah leaves the heart, and such a big punishment that the fear of Allah comes out of the heart. From the tongue, from his hands, from his body, he will say and utter and do things that have not got the fear of Allah. And Allah knows best what he does. In Darul Uloom in Banuri town, there was an individual, he came. And he started to speak things. He said, what can I do? He said that I'm used to now that I do zina with my daughter. Astaghfirullah. This was the consequence of the sin. That don't consider sin as a money thing. This happens. This occurs. Because Allah Ta'ala said, this is my law, my principle, that I have put in effect in an action. When a person commits the action of sin, then there will be the result, the punishment of the sin, and the sin will multiply to other sins, and the fear of Allah will come out of the heart. Tell me, is this something minor? Is this a small thing? He said, no. He says, I do zina with my sin. I have no fear of Allah in my heart. I have no fear. He said, what other sin does he do? He takes haya, modesty, shame out of the person. You see that today there's immodesty spread everywhere amongst women especially. Why? Because women have become immodest. They commit sins. They don't know what is haya. They don't know what is shame. Shame is lost. Modesty is lost. And with passion, desires in the shopping areas, marketplaces, at home, there's gatherings, majalis, haram. Who's sitting there? Have no regard, no worry. And I'm talking about Islamic environments, countries, in our environments. Hudud is being defined in the Quran. The hudud has been drawn, the line has been drawn to correct and protect society. Allah's not given a punishment through his laws. Allah says that Islam is to protect society so human beings can live the lives of sakina, worry-free, safety. But we have no worry today of halal, haram, who is a mahram, ghayr mahram, who is lawful. Oh, I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr, I'm pious, I can sit with these women, there's no problem. It's okay, I'm telling you about the wali wala ghawth kutab. When they commit the sins, there's consequences. Immodesty will come, no fear of Allah, and people will yearn to do sin. All life long, the efforts and the mehnat, and the struggle, they will just pour the cold water over their deeds. You hear today, this man's done this. Have you heard this man did zina? And people, they're shocked. They're opening their wides, they're gaping, their eyes open wide, their jaws drop. This person, because the person came out of the circle of Sharia. So walayat is not a person, if a wali of Allah is this and that, he's done this. I gave you an example already. The 2 months, the poor soul, he was saying that I'm crying, I ate the haram food, and the effect of that is still there. Because this is such a majlis, that's why I speak like this. We have such a discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding to save us from this. Such a big point. Wa ma asabakum, Allah Ta'ala says, with your own hands you draw the calamity to yourselves. Allah says, what are you doing? Dhulam. You are earning the dhulam with your own hands. You are bringing dhulam, darkness, into your hearts. Into your own hearts. With your own hands. Then, when an individual sins, then after that one thing is created that he never then after that considers a sin as a sin. He says, no, sin. This is not a sin. Eyes are closed. Eyes are sealed. Heart is sealed. He doesn't realize that this action is a sin. No, what's happened? It's okay, don't tell me it's a sin. It's okay, I only left one salah. Oh, I didn't go in Jama'ah congregation. What difference does it make? So what? Normal statements today. And some people inside, this is their feeling when they don't implement the deen. Then with this passion, for example, you can push them, you can force them, but there's no jazbah, the fear of Allah, the passion. I've got to pray salah on time and all night long I can't sleep. I want to get up. I want to pray. Why can't I go to pray? I need to pray. And then he does dua to Allah. Put the tabiyyat, put the feeling in my heart so I can pray salah. And this is the connection between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person, he feels down. And today there's so many illnesses, blood pressure, a person sitting down, diabetes. He's lying down in the bed in the morning. And then his feeling, his life, person like me, person who's weak and frail and ill, lying down in the bed. We don't even know that in the morning, will I be able to get up? Am I capable? We have to take tablets and tranquilizers and drugs. Normal people I'm talking about. So it's Allah's assistance that allows us to worship. But there's no third person around, is there? Is there a third person around us influencing us towards bad? It's Allah and us. That's it. There's me and there's Allah. And Allah knows that my servant, what situation is he in? How much khawf has he got in his heart that he's afraid of me, that he wants to go in the morning to prayer? I should have this feeling, Allah, I'm going to sleep. Please wake me up. Give me the ability. But I don't care at all. Oh, my eyes will open when death will come. That's it, isn't it? That's when my eyes will open and I will scream and cry, Allah, save me. A person, we should open the eyes now. Why are we waiting for death? If we can't open the eyes at salah time, when will we open them? So sin, so many sins today. Immodesty. A sin multiplies and breeds other sins. A person becomes immodest, invites other sins. Listen further now, there's another sin. What are the adab occurs due to a person sinning? That a person's du'as are not accepted. Allah, Allah. Rather, Allah Ta'ala said that you do du'a to me, I will accept your du'as, O mu'min. The sinner, his du'as and the acceptance of Allah, what happens? That the du'a goes amiss. It disappears. Sufi sahib we're talking about. The Qari sahib, the Hafid sahib, the Hazrat sahib, the scholar sahib. Hazrat sahib, why are your du'as not being accepted today? What's happened to you? How can it be that Hazrat sahib is then his du'as are not accepted? He's Hafiz of Quran, his du'as not accepted today. Why? Why? How can it be that Zakir, his du'as not being accepted today? Allah Ta'ala says that I accept their du'as automatically. Why are their du'as not accepted? They don't even think. The reason is because you are disrespectful. You've disrespected my deen, Allah Ta'ala says. You've done haram in your life. You've consumed haram. You've earned haram. And we won't pay attention to this. No. Oh, I'm pious. I am the wali. Oh, look at my deeds, my worship. People should respect me. Oh, bow to me. Allah Ta'ala says, you are relying on your deeds. But the style of the mu'min is that even at the time of eating, if your tongue gets stuck between your teeth, then we don't consider it's our mistake. No. Oh, we say, Allah, forgive me, astaghfirullah, I've done a sin. This is what we should be saying. Allah, forgive me, it's due to my sin that my tongue got stuck between my teeth. This should be our style. The smallest obstacle in the life. The smallest hurdle. And this is a person, sign of a person when he has a problem. Oh, it's because of this brother. It's because of this woman. Oh, it's because of this person. Oh, I've got distress or obstacles in my life. Problems because of this person. A, B, C, D. We blame all the other things under the sun. But we don't look at ourselves in the mirror. We don't look at the adab that we have created with our own hands. Rather, we look at other points and issues and sources that these people, these issues are causing my problems. Allahu Akbar. Let's listen further now. Let's go further. More losses. More wretchedness. All of this is due to the dunya that we're living in and that what we earn. Allah says everything hinges on the rahmah of ilahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we not dependent on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It shows. Allah says when you sin, then my rahmah ends. That's another source of rahmah. Allah ta'ala's rahmah goes. Another consequence of sin. Allah says my rahmah disappears from that life. And then the next consequence, Allah says, due to the sin, that man, he loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah, he has yaqeen in other sources of solution. He says, oh, leave Allah. What's the point of going to Allah? What's the point? Oh, I've asked for many du'as from Allah. Allah doesn't listen to me. Astaghfirullah. Brothers, oh, many salahs I've prayed. Oh, salatul hajat I've prayed. Nafal salah, hajat salah, salah for help. And Allah doesn't help me. Astaghfirullah. Person starts to complain, criticize and lose hope in Allah. Oh, I've done this and amal, I've prayed, I've done ibadah. What's happened? No. Astaghfirullah. Person leaves Allah's side and that person then gets drowned in wretchedness and leaving Allah Ta'ala, hope in Allah. Never should a Muslim be like this, but today this is the biggest disease amongst the Muslims, and this is called depression. Losing hope in Allah, losing faith in Allah. A Muslim and depression are two distinct, opposite, 180 degrees opposite things. A Muslim and disturbed Allah, but if Allah's, the Rabb is with, Allah says, Wama, I am with you. I'm with you all the time. Closer to you than your jugular vein. And the Muslim has depression. He says, please doctor, give me the sleeping tablets. I can't sleep in the night. Please toss and turn all night long. I can't sleep. I've got problems. He says, I've got issues and problems. I can't solve my problems. Can a Muslim have this? These are two distinct opposite things. And today 99% of people, percent of the mu'mins, believers, depression, psychologists. And we're ashamed to see you, oh patient. I'm a Muslim. What's your name? Your name? I can't sleep in the night, I've got depression, I've got worries. From the doctor, first I would say to him, leave the sins, then I'll give you the drugs. First follow my prescription, then come towards the drugs. Muslim, giving tablets for a Muslim, sleeping tablets, drugs to take away depression. Is there a tablet for this? Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ تَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah says, that we don't believe in Allah. We don't have conviction in Allah Ta'ala. We don't have belief in Allah. We don't trust in Allah. Allah says, say my name once, call out to me three times. Such a beautiful sleep will come. You'll snore for hours. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the miracle. Allah says, this is a tariqah. I will tell you my method. What do I do? When there's an issue, just now, for example, science tells us that 7 hours you should sleep, 8 hours you should sleep, 8 hours. Oh, we'd just sleep all day long then, would we? Yeah, I said, no, this is too much. This formula of the dunya is too hard. 7 hours if I sleep, or 8 hours, that will fulfill the tiredness. Then I took out another point. I said, let me speak to Allah and fulfill the sleep. Straightforward discussion with Allah. So whenever I have time to sleep, then I don't look at the watch. Then I set my alarm clock. Subhanallah. Allah will with ease. And how long? 30 minutes. I set the alarm clock for 30 minutes time. Because you have to be careful. So 30 minutes alarm clock. And then I do a dua. What is that dua, my friends? So I'm telling you my secret, which is between me and Allah. Because I'm talking about depression now, isn't it? So I'm also a person who's a patient of depression because I commit so many sins. I am the worst. I speak about myself. I'm stuck in sins, left, right, and center. I have no rahmah, no mercy, wallah, no fadl. I'm just telling you my whole story. So I'm stuck in depression. I'm the patient of depression. So I made a promise to Allah, an agreement. I don't look at it. 7, 8 hours left. I need to sleep 3 hours left. Ramadan, I had a good practice of this routine. Great practice. 20 minutes used to get hard after Tarawih. But I used to go to my bed definitely. What would I do? I'd say, Allah, I've come here now to my mattress. I want to sleep. But please have mercy on me with your fadl. Give me such a deep sleep that in these 30 minutes that I get 8 hours sleep fulfilled in these 30 minutes. Subhanallah. Wallahi, I'm telling you the honest truth. How I get up, I sleep, I snore for 30 minutes. I don't know how much I slept and I wake up. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So make a promise to yourself. And make a promise to Allah. Why do you leave ibadat? No. I need to look at the scientists and their promise. Like jahil person. Rather the iman person who has iman. Who has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what need? Sleep is in the hand of Allah. Control of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says that 10 hours people sleep. And even then they sleep. They say, oh, I didn't enjoy myself. My body is paining, breaking. I haven't fulfilled my sleep. Are there not people like this? Tell me. So this means their formula is wrong. For the people of iman. Rather turn to Allah. Concentrate on Allah, I've come to you and I've got to do a lot of deeds. I've already got half an hour. If I go to 8 hours, then how will I do ibadah? Then you will grab me. So give me Allah, I can sleep for 30 minutes. But Allah, but you are Rabb, you are the master, because everything is in your control. Allah, nothing is hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Everything is possible for you. So Allah, give me such a sleep that my 8 hours of sleep are fulfilling these 30 minutes. I get up fresh, do your ibadah, and I sleep doing your dhikr, and Allah, give me success. And you will close your eyes and concentrate on your heart. Allah, Allah, Allah. You won't even realize, when did you sleep? Alhamdulillah. First class, you will get up fresh, totally fresh. Subhanallah. Try this. This is the formula for success. So this depression and the mu'min, what's the reason? What's the reason for this? The same thing that Allah Ta'ala said, the sin. That you have brought wretchedness and calamity onto yourself with your own hands. You have earned your calamity with your own hands. Allah says you've earned this yourself. And this is such a severe thing, sins. And we do this with enjoyment. Brothers, we have to listen to this. After today, make a solid promise with yourself. Whatever happens, but I will not commit the sin. أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. That I'm eating haram. Haram, such impure things I'm eating. And this is the consequence of this. I'm feeding my children haram, and that the consequences that will come in their lives, we don't realize. In a few days, the consequences come out in the lives of the children. Jinn and ghosts and distress and problems and haram lives and lifestyles and sins and money, muhabbat of dunya and wealth and money and arguments, quarrels as they grow up. They have fights and quarrels with their parents and disobedience, and all these things happen in the household, in the families, amongst families. So du'as are not accepted. Allah's rahmah goes far from that person and he loses faith in Allah. And then listen ahead. Allah says, for a mu'min, I've prepared a great solution. Great solution for the mu'min, Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared. Which we're not aware about. We don't have ilm of this. And Allah Ta'ala said, I've given a great preparation for the people of iman. And Allah Ta'ala says that I've given the duty to the angels. That these are my servants. They believe in me. They don't commit sins. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at the worship. Allah says that I look at sins. A person who doesn't sin, he is the wali of Allah. Forget about worship. Worship comes after. Always that person will be the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, who doesn't commit sins. Who doesn't commit sins. Allah Ta'ala looks at worship after. Worship is secondary. So Allah Ta'ala says, these are my servants. They don't sin. They have pure, clean lives. They don't disobey me. And this is your duty, your angels. Angels say, Allah, what's our duty? Allah says, your duty is as long as they are living in the world, then you will always do dua for their needs and their requirements. And you, Allah says, that person, you, me, we don't need to do dua. Allah has made a contract. SubhanAllah. I know your needs, your requirements. I give the list. Say, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah says that this man will need this, A, B, C, D. He's got problems, hurdles, obstacles, requirements, issues, problems, distress, and requirements in the world. And Allah gives the report. The angels will give the report. Allah, this man, he lives in Bolton. His number is 30 on this road. And Allah says, okay, I've recognized him. The angels recognize him. Allah says, this man lives there. And then this jamaat of the angels is chosen. Say, SubhanAllah. And I don't even know, you don't know what's happening. We don't even know what's occurring. What is our rank status? And Allah says that this man is about to have an accident or a problem. His child's about to become ill. His problems, business will go downhill. The list is given to the angels. Allah will say, oh angels, your job is before the calamities come. When the calamities about to come, you start to do dua. Angels say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Allah says this to the angels. And you angels are giving the list of the problems about to come. When you intercede with this person and ask dua for that person, then I will accept your duas and take the problem away from that person's life. Allahu Akbar. And when does this all end? One action, just when a person sins a little bit of an attraction and a person becomes a criminal, Allah says, I close the doors. So my brothers, there are many consequences for sin, so may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah has given us the solution that stay away from the sin, that all of the problems and darkness and wretchedness we have in life, Allah says, this, you have earned this from your own hands. وَمَا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ Whenever we see problems, issues, distress, what do we do first? We need to scan ourselves. We need to scan ourselves. Scan yourself for many days that I am a worse criminal than this and I deserve the punishments I'm getting. And there's only one solution, very easy. Straight away turn to Allah. Say, Allah, I see forgiveness for this sin and I do tawbah for the sins that are about to come in my life and I straight away immediately leave this sin. And Allah, I want to get out of the problems and the difficulty. No need to go anywhere. Direct do dua to Allah. And after today, say, promise that consider every sin as a sin. Look at the sins under the microscope as if we are burning in the fire of Jahannam. And never consider a sin as a so-called small sin. Every sin results in fire, punishment. Let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala saves us from the life of sins. And do as much ibadah as you can. That's fine. But don't go near to sin. If nafs and shaitan invite us to sin, become alert straight away. Let the aerial antenna rise up. Say, Allah, I can see, I've recognized this as sin. And the wretchedness and darkness has risen due to the sins. Do istighfar and tawbah to Allah. And try your best to leave that sin. And as long as your heart is not happy, that the nur has come back, the light has come back. And then cry and lament and run after Allah for Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And totally a belief in itaqad on these hadith. There's no reason, other reason that is giving us problems in our life. The problems in our life are due to haram and sins. And there's darkness in my heart. And this is our condition. Our circumstances of what sin have I done? I don't know. I don't even know the sins. When a person picks up the phone, especially the women folk, if you take this out of your life, backbiting, gossip, and gossip mongering and speaking about the women, then there's no sin in the life of a woman after that. No woman should have anything left. 2-3 hours we gossip monger on the phones. To this extent that people make majlis gatherings. Old people, women, their graves are near to them. 1 foot in the grave, they made majalis. In the evening, they say, oh, let's get together. Then we start chatting, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And their bodies are moving towards sin. Their women and men as well, they're old, they're about to die, so many diseases and illness and sickness. In the evening, they gather together and the objective is when they sit, nonsense and rubbish, talking till 2 a.m. What are you doing, oh people? Tell me. And these are our majalis in our homes. After Isha, they'll sit, the women, men, and sit and gossip under phoning, talking, backbiting, gossip mongering, talking bad about others. If me and you are sitting, tell me, now why should we speak now after Isha in the night and the darkness? Is there any topic to discuss now? 5 men sit down together. What topic will be? 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And the rest of the time will be lost. Oh, he did this, she said this, his relative, you know, he said that, his mother, his sister. 2 women if they have a phone, cool. And even if they're relatives, and they'll speak about each other. How are you? MashaAllah, your children. Okay, after that, nothing else to say, is there? How are you, Kayfalak, etc. After that, oh, you know, your babi, your sister-in-law, your mother, she did this, my husband Kaimi said this, and gossiping and backbiting, slander. 3 hours, the bills are paid for backbiting and sins. And especially in the night time, this occurs. These sins occur in the night time. And then after that, what happens? Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, Dhulam, ghadab, wrath descends on those homes. And we say, how did this happen? Why is this happening in my home, in my life? That I haven't even committed a sin. I've not done anything wrong. We don't commit sins. And he's looking at his amal and starts saying, I did this salah and Quran and did hajj and umrah and I'm pious. Always an individual should never look at his worship and deeds. Look at your mistakes. Look at your mistakes and sin so that a person can clean himself, purify himself. Close the doors to haram. First thing is close the doors to haram. Close the doors to lying, fraud, haram, unlawfulness. When this comes out, the love, take the love of mal, of wealth out of your heart, then you'll be successful. Otherwise, a person will depart the world in this way. Don't think your dhikr will affect you, benefit you. No benefit will come if we don't change ourselves first, take ourselves away from the sin. May Allah Ta'ala bring this change into all of us, and may Allah give us the hatred towards sins. Wa akhiru da'wan, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.